Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of GMS, Inc., Golden Mastermind Seminars, Incorporated. Welcome to our Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. This is the next to last call of the calendar year 2015. It will be the end of the era, and tonight will mark the last guest that I will have of 2015, and that is Alexis Romano. Alexis, do I have you on the line with me?
Yes, you do, Jeff.
How are you, Alexis?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm outstanding. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and we will move into the inspirational interview for tonight's call, and what a fitting way to end the last interview of 2015. Coming up in 2016, Dawn Ferrantino will be one of my first guests that I will be interviewing. Dawn is an exceptional first-class woman, entrepreneur, mompreneur, a woman of substance who I will be interviewing right after the first of the year. I'll be scheduling Dawn. Dawn and I will also be sharing the stage in Clark, New Jersey on February 27th. Dawn is a multiple six, soon-to-be seven-figure income earner. On January 13th, I'll be launching the calendar year 2016 with a event in Dallas, Texas. That is on a Wednesday from 12 until 4 with Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, and myself. Now, that is going to be a small venue. There are plenty of tickets available. Normally, that is a standing room only event. We're in there a little early this year, so if you want a ticket to that event, there are plenty of tickets, and it's going to be very intimate. We're looking at around 100 to 150 tickets for this event. So when I say intimate, it's going to be intimate. This is the pre-event before the pre-event. On January 23rd, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida with C.G. Siddons. I also want to thank my exceptional client, Lisa Pazanza, who is hosting the event with me on January 23rd. January 30th, I'll be in Denver, Colorado. I once upon a time lived in Denver, Colorado. In my youth, when I was 19 years old, I loved going back to the Mile High City. That will be in the Denver Tech Center. That's a great region. February 6th, I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina with Jennifer Trinkner and Carlotta Davis. February 13th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Scott Aaron, Joe DiBianca, and many other people will be sharing the stage with me. February 27th, as I said, Clark, New Jersey, with Dawn Ferrantino. My first speaking engagement in Salt Lake City, Utah, will be March 5th, March 12th, Los Angeles, with Tara Romano and Brittany Kara, and March 19th, Newark, New Jersey. Now, that will be a rockin' event. That will be with Dr. Joe Dispenza, Alexis, Tara, CG, Joe Alonzo, and some exceptional people I'll be sharing the stage with. And March 26th, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, those are some of the events for the calendar year 2016. The Anger Factor book is officially available for purchase. I originally wrote that book a few months ago and released it, and is now in the second edition of that, as it was rewritten, retransposed, and is available. You can purchase that at www.goldenmastermind.com. And also, I have a break in my speaking schedule between now, which is this Saturday, December 26th. I will not be speaking this Saturday or any other Saturdays up until January 23rd will be the first Saturday that I'm speaking at a generic event. So between now and then, I'll be offering 15-minute coaching sessions to any first-time callers, or if you're a second-time caller and serious about hiring me, you may call me at 209-932-0227. If you want to receive some insight, some guidance, some understanding about cause and effect, why you do what you do, how to effectively brand yourself, how to reinvent yourself, or if you have some questions you'd like to ask me, you may call me at 209-932-0227. With that, we will move to the inspiration portion of tonight's call. This call is officially being recorded and will be available for playback on Podomatic tomorrow at 9 o'clock Pacific Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We have into the thousands of people who download our calls in the following day and week after the call, and I guarantee you this will be one of the most listened to calls tonight on the call and for recording and playback. It is my unequivocal privilege to bring to you one of the most exceptional women, clients, friends, collaborators, businesswomen, and entrepreneurs I've ever had the opportunity to share the stage, coach, collaborate with, and become very close personal friends. That is Alexis Romano. I had the unequivocal privilege of meeting Alexis almost 4.5 years ago in Syracuse, New York, in June of 2011. Alexis hired me on the spot at that event. We became very, very good friends, great collaborators. I've watched Alexis move on to become a multiple six- and seven-figure income earner, and also is one of the best leader growers I have ever had the privilege of collaborating with and watching. For the past 7 years, Alexis has coached and inspired and motivated hundreds and well into thousands of people and assisted transformation with lives, not only physically, but financially, emotionally, and spiritually. She has replaced her six-figure income as a high school counselor of over 20 years and assisting others on her team to do the same. She is now a seven-figure income earner in network marketing, direct sales, and is unequivocally living her true passion. Alexis is also a gym owner. She's also a first-class real estate investor and a woman of influence and affluence. And if you're on this call and you are looking for a leader or a leader grower, I highly endorse Alexis as either someone to be your coach or someone for you to seek out and find out a little bit about what she does and all of the multiple ventures that she is successful in. Alexis, privileged to have you on tonight's call.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. It's always, always an honor to be on your call and love collaborating with you.
It is truly an honor. Can you feel my inspiration to have you here tonight?
Yes, 100%. Thank you.
Alexis, I've had the privilege of having Jim Rohn on this call. I've had Mark Victor Hansen on this call. I've had Susan Sly, John Assaraf. I've had Dr. Joe Dispenza. I've had the number one inspirational speaker in Australia. That would be Pat Mesiti. Pat is going to be on this call very soon, and I've had you multiple times. Other than Susan Sly, you hold the record for appearances on this call. You've been on this call over 10 times, so as always, it's a privilege to have you on this call. Let's go back to where it all began for you and I. You were listening to a podcast, I believe. You were listening to a recorded call or a live call of Susan Sly and I on a Monday morning in, I believe, early June. You ended up going to an event in Syracuse, New York. That's where I met you. That was late June 2011. You're a high school guidance counselor at that point of your career. You're in your third year in your present company, and you were in that, looking for that transition stage. Do you remember when we met back in June of 2011?
I absolutely do remember, Jeff. I'll never forget that day.
Can you share a little bit about where you were? I know you're in your second, you're actually in your third year of being in your present network marketing company. I know that you were also a high school guidance counselor, and you were at the top of your profession. Why did you want to change?
Well, Jeff, I was extremely unhappy in the last 5 years of my education career. I had transferred schools because the salary was a lot higher than where I was, and it was just it was a challenge the last 5 years. I was just very, very unhappy. I don't even know how else to describe it. Well, actually, I can describe it. It was anxiety coupled with depression pretty much every single day of going into that building.
What was it about that environment that had you in a depressed stage, not wanting to trade time for dollars any longer?
Well, it was never about the kids. It was just always the politics and the administration and just not being treated the way, you know, another human being should be treated. And there was just a toxic atmosphere.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are many people on the call feeling what you felt. I've coached many teachers who still believe in the profession of teaching. Some of them love the kids, but just like you said, the politics, the government, the pay, all the situations, and teachers today that come out of college with college loans, they can't make it. And that's why many of them are turning to multiple ways to create additional streams of income. You know, Alexis, it really started to change for you once we started coaching. And back in October of 2011, I had the privilege of meeting not only you at a live event, but your sister, Ann Seegee. That was on the eve of Halloween. No, it was Halloween night, 2011. There was a snowstorm in Fort Lee, New Jersey. both Tara and CG hired me at that event, and that's when you and I really started to create some chemistry with your team, and I've really watched you become the leader grower that you have become today. Now, back in that time frame, you were making low four-figure income part-time. Can you tell the folks a little bit about what that transformation was like between 2011 and 2013? That's that two-year period I talk about, the 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. You know what, my first couple of years in network marketing, I had no idea what I was doing. So there was a lot of chaos that I created. I didn't really have the skills. The only thing that, for me, that was pretty much my saving grace was I was really organized and systematic, and I was willing to do whatever it was, you know, whatever it took to move me forward. And, you know, it took me 2 years to create a little bit of income. But one of the things that I always say is that even that little bit of income was, I mean, it was more than what I was used to. So that little bit replaced, you know, my waitressing, and then another little bit replaced a tutoring. So I never complained about just making, you know, a little bit. In my eyes, it was actually, it was more than just a little bit. But I knew that I was stuck in a place in my business that was just not moving forward. And, you know, listening to podcasts and listening to Susan Sly on a daily basis and then hearing your podcast, it was, you know, this was, I remember saying to myself, this is the person I require in my business, because I'm not one of those people who need, I just don't like a lot of fluff. It just doesn't get me anywhere.
When I met you, you were not a skilled network marketer, but you were a very skilled multitasker. What impressed me and what I was impressed the most with about you is how organized, how disciplined, how detailed, how systematic you were, because you had part-time ventures. You had cleaned houses. You had, just like you said, you had tutored. You had waitressed. You were consistently looking for ways to create additional income to supplement your income. You also, at that point in your career when I met you, were a skilled real estate investor owning multiple properties outright. So I knew that you had the discipline. I knew you had the juice, and I knew you had the grit. It was the skill set that you were looking to master, and it was in a relatively short period of time when people began to show up. Now, initially when I met you, you had social media was not the social media that it is today 4.5 years later. Social media was really starting to come into popularity. You had a little bit of resistance, but also knew that you had to cross that bridge. You had a little bit of anxiety about putting yourself out there, about, you know, what are people going to think? Some of the normal situations that people encounter on tonight's call, have encountered, or their teammates encounter. What was it that allowed you to overcome that anxiety and really step up to be that branding woman that you are today?
Well, I was just willing, even if I was uncomfortable, I was still willing to do it. And I remember, and I don't know if you remember this, Jeff, but I remember going to a networking event, and we had our coaching call the following day, and I said, I can't go back because there's a woman there in my company, and she was really successful in another company, and she was overpowering. And he said, no, you're going back. And you said to me, she's not going to be there for very long. And I said, no, you don't understand. She did this, and that in her other company, and now she's, you know, it's like she overpowered the networking event. And you made me go back. And I mean, nobody makes you do anything, but something was pulling me towards going back, and she actually is not even in the company anymore.
I remember this just like it was yesterday, and I assist you to neutralize a story that was disempowering you. Now, that reminds me of another situation. It'll be 4 years ago this early winter when we did an event in Jersey City, New Jersey, in that little place. It was the DoubleTree, I believe, or the Embassy Suites, right there by the Westin.
Yeah.
CG was there, you were there, and Tara was there, and there was a woman sitting in the back row, and she had a small rank in your existing company. And Tara was intimidated by that woman. And Tara and I spoke about this weekend. She goes, oh, my God, that woman was a two-star. And I thought, oh, my God, if I could just become a two-star, that I would really have arrived. Well, just like you said, that woman who was not intimidating, Tara had a story, and Tara eventually neutralized that story, went on to surpass that situation, maxed out the compensation plan, and now Tara is one of the top income-earning women in all of network marketing and direct sales. It just shows you the power of a story and the liberation of being able to let go of the anxiety that does not serve us. Alexis, do you remember back in the day when it wasn't the business that it is? I remember walking on the boardwalk in Hoboken on the wooden sidewalk down there along the water. It was just you and me after dinner, and you had a very, very small team, and it seems like 100 years ago, but it wasn't that long ago. What happened with you in the last 4 years between 2012 and soon to be 2016 that has allowed you to really become that woman that you were seeking to become? It's a big question, but I know you can break it down.
Well, there's several things that happened. Your coaching really assisted me with my mindset with money, which I actually just talked about on my team call. And really, with understanding the flow of money and not being really your identity and security of what I thought it was. And I think once I let go of that, and I remember we had this conversation of, well, what if I go bankrupt? And you said, well, you don't have credit card debt. You have no this, you have no that, you have money in the bank. Like, why would you think you're going to go bankrupt? And I said, I don't know, but what if I did? And he said, so what if you did? Entrepreneurs always create more. And I thought, oh, of course, that makes perfect sense. And it was just that one sentence that just helped me, like, relieve that anxiety of holding on to something that made no sense. And so I put so much anxiety and made that my identity of, what if something happened? And really learning to let go and read people better. It was just the letting go of people that didn't serve me, serve my business, and not feeling any guilt or anxiety about it.
And really, so what I assisted you to break down was a money scarcity. Even though you were extremely prosperous, I mean, if I looked at your portfolio, I mean, you had assets, you had money in the bank, you were a very disciplined saver, and you had done that. You had put money into motion, you had assets, but you did have anxiety about failing, which is, it's not that it's natural, it's common. And a lot of people put anxiety about what does not happen and what does not serve them. One of the most common anxieties that people create is fear of failing. Now, you were able to overcome that relatively quickly. And that one statement I made about entrepreneurs always create more, that was a breakthrough moment for you. And you've had many breakthrough moments throughout the process. But what many people have asked me about you is, what's her secret? What is it that she does? Is it her system? It must be her system. Her system is the secret. Well, you and I both know there's no secret. There's nothing like good old-fashioned effort. And what really separates you from practically anyone I've ever coached, so I would put you in the top three people I've ever coached. What people ask me about you, I said in this. Alexis Romano, when she went to college and when she went to life school, she majored in Tenacity 101 and Discipline 102. Can you share with them what those courses that you graduated from mean?
Yes, Jeff. I was reading your quote from yesterday about being relentless and persistent and tenacious, and I posted it in the group, in my business group, and I thought that's totally me. I mean, I said not relentless, like, backstabbing or anything in that matter, but just like I just wanted it so bad that. And my habits are, I'm just consistent. My habits are the same that they were when I was, 21 as they are now being 48. Like, there's no, my habits are my habits. I do the same things, and I don't, it's not like I'm OCD about whether, what the habit is, because there's not, like, anxiety over it, but it's just, they're just habits. Like, I just get things done, and I'm really consistent, and I don't know any other way to live my life.
You're correct. And so I can completely relate. Now, many people would look at people like you and me and they'll think, oh, that's too rigid. What that really means is they don't understand what is required to own a business. There's this misconception that owning a business gives you freedom. Owning a business can potentially give you freedom, provided you can create the leverage. Now, there's many exceptional people on tonight's call. I mean, I heard Joe, Dawn, heard Scott Aaron ring in. I heard Joe DiBianco, people that I've coached for years, and they're friends of yours, and they're people that you have built businesses with. And the people who are that I mentioned, those are the people who really have this, habits. And I have this statement that you have to out-habit your problems. You have to outproduce and outperform your problems. And you have to overcome this misconception that what you do is work, but what you do is effort. It's not work. It's not a job. It is a business. Now, this may sound like a contradiction, but you'll know what I mean. Many people don't treat their business the way they treated a job, and they have a lackadaisical attitude about their business. Then they become disappointed because the business doesn't reward them. Can you touch a little bit about what that means to you when I state that?
Yeah, I mean, owning a business is completely different than a job, because you have to hold yourself accountable, and it can't be somebody else holding you accountable or dictating what you do on a daily basis. It's up to you. Your sponsor, your coach, your leader, whatever you want to call them, is not there to check in on you and to give you, a sheet in the morning and say, okay, so this is what needs to be done today. You know, you just plug into the systems. Everyone knows exactly what needs to get done in order to, create the outcome that they're looking for. And it's up to them whether they're going to do it or not. I always say, accountability partners are great, but who cares more about the outcome than you do? Not somebody else. For me, that's, an accountability partner is not what I require. Some people do, and bouncing ideas. I guess I have, friends that I consider accountability partners, but no one ever has to hold me accountable for what I need to get done in my business.
All right, so that, let's break that down, because for you that is innate, for me it is innate too. I agree with you. I've seen many people that have an accountability partner. I highly recommend you have an accountability partner if that's what you feel you require, but I also recommend that you be and stay accountable. And if you don't have clearly defined short-term goals, if you don't have a clear vision about what it is you seek to become, and if you don't have some of your goals that are personal about you, then you'll spend a great deal of your time getting ready to get ready. Now, one of the most impressive situations about you that impresses me is how unimpressive you are. Now, doesn't mean you're not impressive. It means that you're very humble. You're very down to earth. You didn't start out as this great speaker. You were shy. You were reserved a little bit when you first started. Now, your personality has really grown, but underneath it all, you're still Alexis Romano, a city girl, a New Jersey girl, who's waitress, had a cleaning business, put herself through college, is a real estate investor, now owns a gym. That's what you are. You are a producer. Not only that, Alexis, one of the most key qualities about you is you are a finisher. Can you touch a little bit on the importance of being able to finish projects rather than being skilled at starting them?
Yes, absolutely. So for me, it's, if I set something, if I have a goal, I want it completed, because that there's so many things that create being, in anxiety, overwhelmed. And for me, being unorganized, not finishing something, creates anxiety, and it's not a feeling that I want to feel on a daily basis. So I know how I'm going to feel if something doesn't get done. So I get it done. I don't know if that really answers your question, Jeff, but it gets done. Like, there's no starting something and then stopping and starting another task and then stopping, and that creates the feeling of anxiety.
I'm exactly like you. It isn't getting... Completing a project is not an option. It is an habit. It's an identity. It's a situation. Another situation that you have done that many people envy and they want to emulate what you've done is your team culture. This last summer, you and I had an event in San Diego, California. We shared the stage together. We had 1,100 people at the event, and that was impressive. But what was just equally as impressive is the fact that you had a team of over 1,000 people at an event. So your team was a large percent of a major event. I mean, there was well over 10,000 plus people at an event, and you had 1,000 of them. Now, 4 years ago, you were showing up to my events with 5, 7, and 10 people, and I watched it grow. So I'm going to ask you to share a little bit about your inner team, the inner culture that you built. And that inner culture really was built around you and your sister. I had the unequivocal privilege of coaching your sister, Tara, who I love being and sharing the stage with and spending time with. Tara absolutely crushed Los Angeles this week. She was so magnetic and dynamic. And like you, she was not that great at speaking when she started. The person she is today, I know you're proud of her. But in your inner team, you have Dawn Ferrantino, Joe Alonzo. You have your sister, C.G. Siddons, your two brothers, Joseph and Philip. And then you have a whole other core group of people that were your friends at the Jersey Shore and that women that you've worked out and exercised with. Now, what this is the real key to the whole game, Alexis, is that network marketing is not only a transaction business, it's an attraction business. People that have been in sales before and created transactions, that's great. And you can enroll product consumers, and that's also great because sometimes product consumers can become superstar people in your team. But can you share a little bit about the importance of team culture and especially how important it is to allow yourself to attract people who you can collaborate with, not be in conflict with?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Well, for me, I think, you know, the culture and the community of what we have is one of the best parts of our team. I mean, I think, and it's hard to explain, but what
it is, isn't it? It is, isn't it?
But what I feel is that I'm just always real. I'm not trying to be somebody that somebody expects me to be. I'm not looking to, I can't please everybody. So what you see is what you get. And anytime I'm working with people, it's always coming from a good place. I'm not malicious. I'm not trying to sabotage anybody. I want to see people successful. And I think that all of the leaders on my team are pretty much the same way. So we're all pretty real. I mean, you know, some people may be offended by it, but we always come from a good place and we always just want to see people successful. And I think that, you know, people want to see the real and not the fluff. And I think that that's really important because fluff just doesn't get you anywhere. And when you're real, I mean, I think that that's genuine and really you're showing the love.
You are, and you've created camaraderie, a team that comes together. Your events have in the hundreds up into the thousands of people for a team event, not a company event, but for team events. You created a culture in your own backyard in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and some of the other states that have really come together and formed that nucleus. They formed that team, and it all started with you. Did you have a vision that one day it would be this big?
No, Jeff. I had no idea that it was going to be this big. Not at all. My goals, I always say that, you know, I break them down in bite-sized goals because if you would have said, you know, you're going to be a millionaire in this amount of time, I don't know what I would have said, but I don't think I would have believed that. But I believe that I could break it down and replace my waitressing income. And then once I did that, I could replace my tutoring and then replace my health coaching. And like, and as I broke those goals down, it wasn't like shiny object syndrome or anything like that. It was I just broke the goals down because I didn't want to waitress anymore. I didn't want to do certain things anymore. I didn't want to get home at, 8 o'clock at night after tutoring, three or four kids and dealing with kids all day long. So those were things that inspired me to keep going because I just didn't want to do those. I knew that there was more to life than what I was doing.
I had the privilege of coaching you when you took a leave of absence from your job and then eventually quit your job. And you and I used to go round and round on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time about quitting your job. Do you remember this era?
I do because I still have the reminders that go off on my email. I don't know how to get them off.
What does that mean?
I reminder for our call at 6 o'clock on Mondays.
Right, so there were times when I would say, you're quitting your job, and you go, I can't. And I go, you are. And you go, I'm not. I go, you are. You go, you don't understand. I go, I do understand. We would have these discussions, and you had anxiety on Sunday nights about going in on Monday because of your boss, the situation, you couldn't transfer. You were really stuck in that career, and it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with the system and the situation. You were really boxed in. You took a courageous move in 2012. You took a leave of absence. It was late April, May. I remember like yesterday when you did it. Now, here's why this is important. Because from that day you quit, it was a little over a year that you went from a few thousand dollars a month, and I was there. It was like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month in the spring of 2012. To then you contact me in July of 2013, and you go, "This is surreal." Do you remember that surreal moment in 2013?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You had received a bonus check from your company, along with your monthly pay, that exceeded $100,000 a month. I remember that. That was your first six-figure month. You were in that hazy wave spot where the Vaseline was in the camera lens. Oh, I want to say the F word. Oh, my God. I remember this like yesterday. And you're like, you're in an outer body experience. Like,
I was.
And you're like, going, you're not sure. Because also, I was your coach when you had no electricity for weeks. Remember this?
Yes, I do.
You couldn't do a coaching call with me once because your phone was cutting out, and you couldn't go anywhere because there was too much water in where your apartment was in a high rise.
Yeah, I remember.
You had no electricity. That was the fall of 2012. I remember that when I was coaching you, and it was, you've been through some interesting challenges, but that breakthrough moment, that money moment, that moment when you actually had a six-figure monthly income. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is because a lot of people, wow, that's so big, I can't imagine it. That's right. If you can't imagine it, it does not happen. Now, you know as well as I do that if you can achieve $1,000 in a month, you can achieve $10,000 a month in network marketing, direct sales, internet marketing. You've seen, not only have you lived it, but you've seen your own team. You've seen some of my clients. You've met Arthur Tubman. You've seen it. You know Susan. You've shared stages with multiple people who've done it, and there are good people on tonight's call that are going to be doing it. I was coaching one of Peter Kaufman's teammates tonight, an exceptional woman named Michelle, and I was telling her that if you really have to find that edge. Now, you know the edge. I want to cover this a little, that edgy edge, you know, that grind that goes in on your teeth, that you got it. You know that high heel or that boot where you grind off the rubber on the back end of the tip of that high heel of that boot, it's that edge like, I will not be denied. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to freaking figure it out. You know that edge. Can you explain why people have to find that edge, that sand between your teeth that you can't get out?
Yeah, it's just what drives you forward. Like, you're just not stopping. No matter what is going on around you, you're just not stopping.
You know, three women in your team that have that I just love coaching, Dawn, CG, and Tara. So all four of you have that edgy edge. And sometimes that edge offends people. They're like, whoa, they're really angry. No, it's your presence. It starts to come out. It's like you're not angry at people. It's like it's a determination. It's a relentlessness. It's like that. It's that well you got to go to. It's like, bring it on, chief. Is that your best shot? You expect me to be impressed? You think you can intimidate me? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, is that your best shot? Give it to me. It's that edgy edge. You know what I mean? Can you share what that means?
Yeah. Like I said, it's just, you know, you're just not willing to go back. It's just, no matter what is happening, you're just willing to do whatever it takes. No matter what. I mean, it's hard to describe because it's just, for me, it's just who I am. Like, I'm just not going to stop.
Well, we're going to come out with this neon sign. You and I are going to sell it. It's going to be called, You Must Experience It.
It's so hard to explain because when it's just who you are, it's hard to explain to people.
You mean the how do I?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you can't explain to people on the call why you would pick up all the tables at the end of a restaurant shift, but you can explain it to me because I lived it. I would do the same thing. I used to wait tables in a place called Don Pepe's in Kansas City, Missouri. Don Pepe used to be Aristotle Onassis's chef, and my other best friend at the time, Michael Garoza, went on to be a millionaire restaurateur. Michael and I used to have 12 tables at lunch, bartend our own, make our own drinks, pour our own wine, and bus our own tables. You can relate to that, can't you?
I can so relate to it. I had a system for that, and when I was so happy when people were in the bathroom doing what they were doing in that those days, and I was like, I'll take them all. I'll take all of the tables. I got it. I'll bus them. I'll bring their drinks. I'll do it because I like the end result.
And so what would happen is when you would walk through your station, you would pick up and stack the glasses. You would stack the plates, right?
Yeah, there's a system, Jeff.
And you would put them on a chair, clean the table all in one sweep, set the table up, and go, set them here, baby, right here, set them up. I'll be in charge of your culinary experience this evening, Chief. Any libations I can bring you from the bar? Scotch and water? No, we don't have that here in my station, dude. This is Glenlivet. Strawberry daiquiris? No, they don't have any alcohol. We don't sell them. Oh, you feel me, don't you?
I do, Jeff. I absolutely do.
So Michael Garozzo and I, Alexis, you'll relate to this. He and I, in 1981 and 82, would make $200 for a lunch shift, and we would do that. And people would not understand that. They go, how could you wait on 10, 12 tables? I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, I'm organized.
Yes.
I'm detailed. I'm systematic. And when you have that edge, it's that edge. You have no idea what you're capable of once you can tap into that edge. That's the inner game. That's that space that you can't explain. That's where you can transcend your problem. And your problem no longer becomes your problem. Your problem becomes your asset. When your problem becomes your asset, then you will not freaking be denied. That's when you really say, bring it on. You have no idea who you just stepped in the ring with, Chief. It's not the size of the dog. It's the bite in the dog. I'm a small dog, big bite guy. I love Jack Russells. I love a challenge. I don't love adversity because I don't require that kind of conflict anymore. But the challenge to be my best, that's what inspires me. Can you tell them what inspires you to be your best?
What inspires me to be my best is for me. It just comes from, like, within. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm literally here to live my life to the fullest, to be happy. And the minute I will, you know, like, comparing yourself to other people or trying to impress other people or please other people, I'm always looking to feel my best. So when I feel my best, I am my best. And I can't change who I am. And I don't even know if I'm really answering this question, but my best is my best. I'm not looking for perfection. I never was a perfectionist. Getting things done is important to me, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to get done. And I have to feel that it was my best getting it done.
But your best oftentimes is perfect without attempting to be perfect because of how disciplined you are. And perfect doesn't mean neurotic. It means that there's a level of an order to the situation is what it means. Because I know how detailed you are, but you're not so neurotic that there's not joy in it. Many people,
right.
many people misunderstand people like you and I and Susan. They think that being organized is this arduous task when really being organized is liberating, because when you're overwhelmed and undercompensated, it's a direct reflection of your low self-esteem and your rebellion tendencies. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. You know, Alexis, I my best is a place called Breakthroughs to Success, and every year I tell myself I'm not going to do this event anymore. But at that event, there's a very interesting situation happens. At that event, we as a collective consciousness, as a team, you came back in 2011, you'll remember that. I remember you and Stacy were there, Stacy Muscati. There's some other people who I'm still in direct contact with. But that's the kind of event where you began to release from places you don't release, and the vileness and some of the situations that happened in your past begin to come out. And that's a whole different kind of sweat that comes out of your body. That kind of sweat's the release that allows you to begin to attract. And when you start to let go of that kind of anxiety, you let go of that kind of pain, you let go of those stories and those kinds of people, that's when your game begins to change. Now, you had the privilege of mentoring CG. CG went to a lot of events with you and Tara, but I remember some certain events where CG went to New Year's kickoff. It wasn't that long ago. It's going to be 3 years ago. Remember when I had a table at that event right by the elevator in 2013. Do you remember this?
I do, Jeff.
And I spoke on Friday in that long, narrow room, that super narrow room. It's like the narrowest room I've ever – like people were sitting like seemed like a mile over my left and right. I'm like, is this the narrowest room that I've ever spoken in? But I remember you went to that event with one person. One person in your team went to that event. That was in January. But then in July, you had a six-figure month. I mean, that's a quantum leap, some greater than whole of parts, 2 plus 2 equaling 16. I know you can't explain it. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to quit asking you to explain things you can't. I mean, what we're covering are quantum physics, and it's like these are situations that you experience and live. You know, one of my clients asked me tonight, how do I explain how to get people to this event in January, this event in August? And I said, well, you don't explain it. Can you convey to people the magnetism, the majesty of what happens and goes on at those events and why they consider attending?
Well, every event builds your beliefs. I mean, I've gone to every single – I've never missed an event. And I remember when I first started in network marketing, there was an opportunity meeting in the city in Times Square, and I would go every week. Sometimes I would bring somebody, but I was there every week regardless of whether I had a prospect to bring or not, because I always wanted to learn. I wanted to be surrounded by the whole – I wanted to be in that environment, and it kept building my belief. And I, every time I heard somebody else speak, I would say, I could do that. I could do that. I didn't go and feel bad about myself because I wasn't in a certain place. I just kept building my belief. So each event just builds your belief for yourself, for your business, and – They're just non-negotiable for me. I mean, I still don't miss any events. And every, I mean, Jeff, I've been going to your events for over 4 years, and I just don't want to miss them, because even though I may hear the same thing, or I'm listening differently. So,
well, right, it's like your auditory skills are expanded. You hear what's meant in a different level. But just recently, you spent a weekend with Dr. Joe Dispenza, who you and I are hosting. Yeah. March 19th, and people go, well, Alexis, you're a millionaire now. You're a multi. Why do you go to these events? What did you receive from seeing Dr. Joe over that kind of weekend?
Well, I mean, every event that I go to doesn't necessarily have to be a corporate event, but it's always about my personal development and my spiritual growth. Like, I committed to myself in my 20s that was going to be, if you want to call it a goal, but my spiritual growth, my personal development is just something that's really important, regardless of anything else. And, you know, the weekend was just incredible, because it just took you to a whole nother level. And I know, and CG had actually gone a couple months before, and she raved about it. And I'm like, okay, I have to go. And, you know, I was there, and I didn't want it to end, to be honest with you. I just thought, you know, this is what it's all about. This is just continuously growing, you know, on a different level and understanding, you know, in a different way.
Right, because you're in a different place to receive than you were 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, 24 months ago, because of you are living in the compound effect. You're beyond success. You're living in a whole different level of peace, where success finds you because of the skills you've learned. Success follows you. You've heard the term success leaves clues. Well,
yeah.
Success is an identity. It's an attitude, and it's a discipline. And so when you start to master the emotions and your dialogue with yourself, and you silence your inner critic, and you're no longer critical about what you didn't do, and you spend more time focusing on what you're capable of doing, your attractor factor changes. So you're in that place now where you're receiving a very high level. You're in enlightenment. You spend a lot of your time in joy, bliss, and love, and you spend very little time in overwhelm or anxiety. And that is a discipline. You're a different woman than you were on Sunday nights 4.5 years ago. Sunday nights, you didn't have control of your own destiny. You didn't have a command of your emotional state yet. You were in the process of learning it. But in a relatively short period of time, anyone on tonight's call, as you know this, in 2 years, you've watched your sister and CG C.G. Siddons, write checks for their school loan in one check. And, I mean, they wiped out their school loan in one check. I mean, how many people on tonight's call go to bed in anxiety with a dialogue with money that isn't conducive to attracting the people you can create it? I mean, this is the whole inner game is the inner game. People ask me, can you cover the inner game? Well, the inner game isn't covered. The inner game is experienced. The inner game is a brainwave state where you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. You're feeling what you're feeling, and you're capable of feeling that feeling and not leaving it. And success isn't something you lose. Success is something you become. Would you share a little bit about what I just covered and cover more on which the mindset that is required to be and stay organized, disciplined, successful, enlightened?
Well, yes, Jeff. I mean, you know, every day is, you know, I wake up and I'm truly blessed and appreciative of what the day is going to bring, and I embrace the day. And so I have, you know, my habits that, you know, making my bed, you know, looking at my planner, those things that just, you just do, like, and for me, you just do. And then, you know, my emotional well-being and my health, that those are all components of, you know, living your life in joy and bliss and peace. And there's nothing, like, it's so important to be grounded. I just know that I remember the feeling of being in anxiety, you know, 24/7, that pit in your stomach, that burning sensation. I remember it. And I never, ever want to go back to it. So I'll do anything in my power to alleviate that from happening on a daily basis. And I'm aware of it, and I recognize it if it hits me. And so, you know, being disciplined in my business, being disciplined in my personal and spiritual growth, it's all about being disciplined. And it's all about, how do you want to feel when you wake up? How do you want to feel throughout the day? How do you want to feel when you go to bed? How do you want to feel when you're producing? How do you want to feel when you're at a networking event? You know, it's all about how do you want to feel, because if you feel in anxiety, if you're in fear, then it's going to affect everything around you, and you're just going to continuously attract those types of people into your life and into your business.
And I know you'll agree with this, because how not only your mindset, but your words and the way you communicate with yourself. I coach people, I've coached 60,000 plus hours in my career. Many of the people I've coached are on tonight's call. I've coached over 10,000 clients. And unfortunately, about 80% of my clients say some of the same things. You don't understand my situation is. You don't understand. I can't really do anything about this relationship because, I'm lying on a nail and I'm bleeding, but I'm not bleeding to death. So I'm going to stay on this nail and I'm going to bleed a little longer. You don't understand. I just can't leave. You feel me there, Alexis, how people say
yes.
These things to us?
Yes, absolutely.
No, Alexis, you don't understand. You know, I'm bleeding, and, you know, I'm bleeding with a really good person. They're a really good person, but, you know, I'm on this nail with them, and we're bleeding together. So I can't really get off this nail because, you know, it might affect my kids. You know, I might have to really be responsible. You don't understand, you know. I'm codependent, but, you know, I'm not bleeding to death being codependent. Hey, you know, I'm in this alcoholic relationship, but, you know, it ain't that bad because, you know, I can control it. I'm cool. I'm suave. I'll just bleed a little more. And that's what I see people do, is they just keep bleeding. And then what happens is they bleed to death. And they go, no, dude, we have a transfusion for you. It's right here. It's called free enterprise. It's real estate. It's internet marketing. It's direct sales. It's network marketing. It's intellectual property. Oh, but my friends might not like it if I don't bleed to death. Sounds funny, but it's tragic.
It really is. It's, you know, I remember like having a conversation, and maybe my family doesn't remember, but I remember sending the email out, and I remember saying, I'm doing this with or without you. You can come with me, or you can wait until I'm successful, but I'm doing this, and, you know, I'm going to be taking some time away from doing the things that I would normally do and putting the effort into this, because I knew that it was going to change my life, and it was going to change other people's lives. And that belief came on from going to events and listening to podcasts. But I never was that person to get ready to get ready. Like I was in action all the time, whether it was the right action or not. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was still in action. And I always say, like, I was literally walking the streets of Jersey City and Hoboken prospecting because I didn't know how else to do it. It was before Facebook. So for me, it was, you know, being in action and, you know, the pain of the anxiety, the feeling that I felt was so great that it wasn't worth me staying on the nail. I didn't want to bleed to death.
Alexis, I used to live in Dallas, Texas on two different occasions. I went there once in 1992, sight unseen. I got an executive apartment at DFW Airport in a suburb called Euless. I'd never even been to Dallas. I got it all over the telephone, back with a landline, a corded phone landline, the kind that you push the buttons, you know those kinds?
Yes, I do.
With a handset, and I called up and I figured I got a realtor. I found an executive apartment where pilots and stewardesses live. I go, wow, where do pilots and stewardesses live that fly in and out of an airport? So I said, fuck, they've got to have a place like this. So I found it, $700. I kept my apartment in Stockton. I got an executive apartment. They had the spoons and forks and a TV, and I got cable. And then, wow, I'm like, dude, I'm in Dallas. And this other friend of mine went with me. He and I were we went to Dallas together. We drove 30 hours from San Francisco Bay Area to Dallas, Texas. We put ads in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and the Dallas Morning News the week before we went there. So we pre-planned it. We rented a hotel room at the – I never even told this story. I never even told you this. We rented a hotel room at the Arlington Hilton right by Six Flags, which is mid-city. It's right by where the Cowboys play. And he and I started doing hotel meetings with a startup company where the product wasn't even done, and the product was going to be appetite-suppressant jelly beans – with the chocolate vanilla powder that was soy in a box with vitamins. How's all that sound?
Sounds wonderful.
But the company, we didn't have the product yet, and we were selling theory, and we didn't know that we couldn't do it, so we didn't talk ourselves out of it. That was in February. In October, he and I, his name was Jerry Clark, he and I had 300 people at the Adolphus, this beautiful hotel downtown, one of the top restaurants in all of Dallas. The French Room was there. We had 300 people with our upline in the event. We moved to Dallas in February, sight unseen, drove 30 hours each one way to a city we'd never even been to, and we pulled it off. I mean, we were young and dangerous. We didn't have any money. He didn't even have credit. We had my credit. We got a high rise room in a 7-story building eventually. We got a little office. We had a briefing room that held 60 people. We'd have standing room only, people waiting down the hall to get in. I mean, that was exciting. It was inspiring. I mean, that's what it was. And you know what? We failed in that venture. The company went out of business. And we started over. We started over with another company. That company went out of business. We started over another company. That company went out of business. Jerry Clark and I went through 3 back-to-back companies. We went our separate ways. We reconnected a year later. He went on to become a millionaire by the time he was 27 years old. And a lot of his skills he and I learned in 3 back-to-back failed ventures. That's the value of being in the game and mastering the skills. And I know you can relate to some of that, can't you?
Absolutely, Jeff. 100%. I did some things that I wouldn't have, my team doesn't have to go through because, you know, there's other things. I have better skills. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Alexis, I have so many off-the-wall stories of things that I either created, sabotaged, I mean, it's like FUBAR, you know, things that sometimes I forget of how destitute I was and things I went through and figured out ways to stay in business and be in business. I sold a Mickey Mantle autograph that I got when I was 5 years old because then people said to me, well, didn't that mean something to you? He goes, yeah, man, I could buy leads from it. And I figured I could get another Mantle autograph when I was wealthy, and that's what I did. So I was willing to sell everything I owned to stay in the game, and I have before. I remember selling CDs for $5 taking my CDs and getting $5 out of them so I could buy leads or pay rent or get an ad in the newspaper or keep my phone on or do whatever I had to do to stay in business. I waited tables. I did humbling things. I ran errands. I did whatever I had to do to stay in business because I was willing to sell off everything I owned to pay to play the game. And I know you know what that means. As we're wrapping up the call tonight, do you have anything you'd like to share, or anything you'd like to add, or anything you'd like to promote? Because I want you to know how much you mean to me, how I am so honored to be your friend, your coach, your collaborator. I feel like I'm part of your team. I want your team to know how much I love them, you, and being a part of this journey with you. It's people like you and what you create that allow me to make it worth what I do. Alexis, go ahead and let them know how anyone can get a hold of you, because I know there's a lot of generic people on the call. So if anyone wants to get a hold of you, how can they reach you? And do you have an offer for anyone tonight?
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I mean, you are definitely part of our team, and you're part of our system, and we, you know, we love you, and you have done so much for me and my family, and my entire team. I mean, it's just, we have a great culture, and you're a big part of it. So, you know, we always talk about you and thank you for all that you've done. So
your sister crushed it in L.A. I mean,
she was like,
if you could split a watermelon down the middle with a knife, that's what she did, and it just like fell.
I love it. I love hearing that. Hopefully I'll get to see her speak too. So, but, you know, Jeff, one of the things that I do want to say before I let people know how they can get a hold of me is, you know, when people want to ask, like, what happened from that you know, jump from two-star to maxing out the comp plan in a short period of time, it was really about, you know, doing all that work prior to and just not giving up. And when I committed to quitting my job and really letting go of all of the anxiety about what would happen when I did quit, because that was the anxiety of going back and forth, you know, you don't understand, I have this, you don't understand, I have that. And when I let go and said, you know what, screw it, I got to get out of here. And I remember saying to myself, I will waitress before I go back to that school. Like, that was something that I was committed not to go back ever. And that's when my business really just took off. I think when my whole posture changed and my whole, like, you know, when you talk about the grit and the grind, like, that's when it changed. I was leaving and I was not turning back, and that was the end of it. So, you know, for those people who, you know, are back and forth, it's just about, you know, commitment and determination. So that's one of the things that was always important to me. So, people can go to my website, Jeff. I'm still, a lot of people have been successful with the Facebook webinar that I have. My simple systems, everything is on my website at alexisromano.com. You can follow me on Facebook. And really, that's the best way to get in touch with me. And always sharing the stage with you, Jeff, is an honor. So I'm excited for Millionaire Blueprint, and then March 19th with you and Joe Dispenza, and super excited about that.
I wanted to share with Alexis, your presentation, November 7th, was unequivocally your best. I mean, you were so comfortable, relaxed. I mean, you are really coming into your own, and you're just progress in progress. So I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. Alexis Romano, last guest of 2015. What a great way to end the year with one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with. As I promised, early in 2016, you will see Don Ferrantino for the first time on my call, multiple six-figure income earner, multipreneur, speaker, and an exceptional woman will be one of my guests early in 2016, and Don and I will be doing an event in Clark, New Jersey that will be standing room only on February 27th. Anyone who wants to get a hold of me for a free 15-minute coaching session, and I do these around the holidays and a few times in the year where I'm not speaking, so I do have time to do some 15-minute coaching sessions. And these are for people who are serious about changing the quality of their life, people who are considering hiring me. You can contact me directly. That's 209-932-0227. Or you can send me a message in my inbox in Facebook. That is Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Combs. And The Anger Factor, the newest book that I've written, book number 5, is available on my website. That is www.goldenmastermind.com. January 13th, which is a Wednesday, Dallas, Texas, one of the most beautiful cities in the United States. I lived there on 2 different occasions. January 13th, 12 to 4, Alexis Romano and Susan Sly. There are tickets available for that event. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is my last call before one of the most special and unique holidays in the calendar year, in the world, and especially in the great America, the land of the free. Really take your enterprise to the next level before this calendar year ends. Put your foot on the accelerator, off the brake. Don't talk yourself out of business. People are investing more right now than any time of the year. You deserve to be a part of people's dreams and wishes before this year ends. Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. You have a great evening.